Welcome to She Reads, a podcast for book lovers everywhere.
I'm Siobhan.
I'm Hunter.
And I'm Elizabeth.
Oh, She Reads, the podcast show.
All right.
So, what are you ladies reading lately?
Oh, nothing?
No.
That's not true. I started the Alice Network, which is, I'm looking up the author because I'm a terrible person.
Kate Quinn.
That name, it just rolls off the tongue. Kate Quinn, that's a good name.
Kate Quinn.
It's a, yeah, right? It's quite excellent. It's historical fiction, but it has two very badass female protagonists, and it's set between two time periods. I want to say 1917 and 1947, but I could be wrong about that. Essentially, one time period is in the First World War, and the second period is just after the Second World War. I think correct. But it's so good. One of the women is a spy, a female spy, and the other woman, so the one in the past is a spy, and then the one in the more present, or the 1947, is trying to find somebody. And their worlds collide, and it's so good. And it's, like, it's not a super fast read, and it's a pretty long book. I think it's, like, 400 pages. But it's, like, really good historical fiction. Like, I haven't read anything quite this good in terms of historical fiction since All the Light You Cannot See.
Oh, wow.
It's not as good as All the Light You Cannot See, but it's good. I like it.
It's comparable.
And I like that it's... You like, yeah, I mean, it's, like, same time period-ish, but not really, not a lot of other similarities.
Okay.
But I guess in the fact that it's, like, following two different people's storylines who, like, but it's different. It's good. It's really good. And I like that it's not really about a love story, which is refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been reading that.
Nice.
Did I like it? What about you, ladies? Summer reading?
I've been in a little bit of, like, a reading. I'm reading all the Missing Girls, like, the one that you're reading. You were reading a few, I feel like.
Oh, yeah, by
Megan Miranda.
Yes.
Miranda? Yeah, I think so. It's okay so far. Like, I'm not, like, very into it quite yet.
Yeah. It's interesting... concept. I think that's what I talked about last time, too.
Yeah. I think I think it's, like, interesting that it starts from, like, you know the ending, but then you work your way backwards.
Mm-hmm.
I am enjoying that. But I'm just finding, do you ever go through lumps where you just, like, read the first chapter of, like, five books and you can't really get into any of them? That's kind of, like, where I'm at right now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's fair.
Yeah. What about you, Hunter?
Well, I actually started the Alice Network today as well.
Oh, yeah.
Although I only got a few pages in because work was crazy. But I have read a few books over the last couple of
weeks. Yeah, I feel like you're going to make us look bad. make me look bad as usual. Make Elizabeth look bad.
Well, no, I've only been doing, like, one at a time.
Okay.
And then I just finished Lullabies for Little Criminals by Heather O'Neill last night, which... If you go back to our first episode, you will remember that this is one of Elizabeth's favorite books.
Yeah. And?
And it was a slow read for me.
Oh, no. Hunter and Elizabeth do not have the same taste in books.
No. I wouldn't say that a slow read is a bad thing.
Right. Okay.
It's a heavy book.
It's heavy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, for our listeners who don't know, it's about a girl who she's raised by her... junkie dad, and then ends up developing her own drug habits and weird tics, but all by the time she's 13. And it's about her, how she's neglected and how she kind of keeps moving forward, and all based in Montreal, Canada. And it was good. It was really good. It was really sad. And it was, like, a heavy read. Like, I felt like I couldn't read it for too long or else I'd just spiral. into my own sort of sad depression. So I took my time on it, and I did give it a 4-star, I think.
It's very high praise.
Yeah, 4-star is pretty good. Yeah. I also read another K.A. Tucker book.
Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, I read 2 other K.A. Tucker books. One that was contemporary women's fiction, and it was good. It was quick. It was light. I read it at Siobhan's cottage, and it was all the same day.
Yeah, she read it in one day. Finished. Meanwhile, I read 0 books that weekend.
And then I read a thriller by K.A. Tucker, He Will Be My Ruin, and I'm not kidding, this book kept me up. It was so good. I was trying to solve the crime the entire time, couldn't figure out, kept jumping back and forth between characters and who I thought did it, still didn't see it coming. It was excellent.
Was it like the good kind of not see it coming though, like when you like look back it makes sense, or was it just like that came out of left field?
No, like, you can totally sort of put the pieces together, but not quite.
Okay.
Wow, like, cool. So it's, like, satisfying.
It has multiple twists, so I definitely think that you ladies should read it, because it kept me up at night. I couldn't put it down. I stayed up till, like, 2 a.m. to finish it. Was miserable at work the next day, but ready for the next one.
So worth it.
Cool. Well, she has another thriller coming. I think.
So, hopefully. I'm ready.
Cool.
Nice.
So 3 books. Not bad.
Yeah, it's okay.
And I feel, okay, I also did read Evelyn Hugo, which is the book we're going to be discussing today. So I did read that, like, semi-recently.
Yeah, you did.
And for those who don't know, the full title of Evelyn Hugo is The 7 Husbands of Evelyn Hugo by Taylor Jenkins Reid.
So, I'm so excited. Like, I was at Costco and I saw this book, and I had just gotten off of my high of reading it. And this woman was like standing in front of it, but she was kind of like debating between like 2 different books. And she was like, and I was kind of just like browsing. And then she turned to me and she's like, "Don't you just hate it when you can't decide like which book to get?" And I was just like, "Girlfriend," like, I didn't say that, but I was like, "I have the perfect book for you." And then I literally picked it up and I was like, "You need to read this book." So.
Yes. It's honestly the book that I want every, like, yes, that I said that, like, Letters from a Feminist Killjoy, every woman should read, every person should read, but, like, in a different way. But Evelyn Hugo is the, like, fiction book that every woman or person should read.
I agree.
And I think that every woman or most women would enjoy. It's so enjoyable. And also,
I've already lent it out like 3 times. And every time someone asks me for a book recommendation, I'm like, read this book. I'll give you my copy to borrow, or just go buy it. You will
and
not just, regret it. It is
when,
so
and
good.
When you like read it a book so that's like good. That you're just
so,
so
good.
Like, you can dive into it. Like, I read it because I went to Calgary, I guess it was, like, a week ago now, and I read it on the flight there, and then I was, like, super busy for, like, 4 days, and then I read it on the flight back, and I was sitting and just, like, bawling my eyes out at the, like, just sitting on the plane, like, crying, just because it was so, like, oh, just so good.
Yeah. It's an emotional read. But it's also, like, it's like happy, happy, it's sad just... for the most part. Well, we won't. I feel like we shouldn't give the ending away.
No.
So there will be some spoilers, but we won't give out the ending. Well, we'll do our best not
to
spoil.
You probably should read the book before you listen to the rest of the episode.
Yeah. I mean, we're just going to talk about it for the rest of the hour, so fair warning.
Read it.
Yeah, stop now. Go buy the book, read it, and then pick up where you left off if you want to be completely shocked and surprised.
Okay. Who wants to start? What do we want to talk about first? I guess, well, what do we each want to say, like, the our favorite, like, aspect about it. Like, not, like, mm-hmm. one event, but, like,
yeah.
why we feel like we loved it so much. Does that make sense?
I do.
Well, I know, Elizabeth, you have a lot of thoughts.
I guess, sure. like, what my... I mean, I had, like, so many takeaways from this book, but the one that really stood out to me... well, there was two, but I guess the one that I didn't see in, like, our other notes was, like, this kind of public feeling, because, like, as somebody who, like, I do enjoy partaking in the reading of gossip of celebrities, and I find it entertaining, especially I find, like, the Who's entertaining of the world, but I just thought it was really interesting how, like, there's this kind of, like, public feeling of entitlement to a celebrity's life versus, like, what actually goes behind, like, the crafting of all these stories so that the public sees, like, what they want them to see. And I just think it's, like, really interesting that this book was taking place at a time when, like, mm-hmm. social media was, like, not a thing. And trying to think about this kind of aspect now with, like, Instagram, Twitter, where you are, like, that much closer to celebrities. So that's probably the thing that I really thought hard about, just, like, that idea of you might think that you know somebody because, like, you've seen their movies and you feel very attached to them, but you are only attached to, like, an idea of, like, the person they've cultivated for you.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I feel like you can't help but read this book, and I've seen this a lot in, like, reviews on Goodreads and stuff, mm-hmm. of, like, reading this book and wanting to Google who Evelyn Hugo was. Like, mm-hmm. that was my first instinct. I was like, I need to know who this exactly. woman was. She's so amazing, but she...
Well, she's kind of like a Marilyn Monroe type, right?
But she could,
like,
be real.
Yeah, she could very well be.
Yeah.
Or...
She's compared to Marilyn Monroe in another one.
Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah, Elizabeth Taylor. Yeah, yeah.
Elizabeth Taylor had quite a few marriages, if I recall yeah, correctly. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, I loved it.
Hey, this is Editing Elizabeth. Before we get too far into this episode, I just wanted to state that on the topic of diversity and inclusivity, we try very hard, but these are the opinions of three straight cisgender white women. So while we are trying to stay aware and keep our privilege in mind when discussing these topics, this same privilege can sometimes be a blinder. If you felt like we missed something or felt there was misrepresentation, we are very sorry. Please either slide into our DMs or email us so we can better educate ourselves for next time.
Okay, what I loved so much about it, and so refreshing, was the, like, casual inclusivity or, like, casual diversity. I don't know, I think I've, like, we've thrown around different kinds of words for this, at least in discussions, maybe outside of the podcast, but... of, like, the fact that it's so diverse without making mm-hmm. that, like, without that being what the book is about. Like, you just have characters that are biracial. You have characters that are, like, gay or bi or, like, in different kinds of relationships. And, like, strong female characters. But, mm-hmm. like, that doesn't matter. Like, that's not what the book's about. The book is about so much more. It's about, like, this wonderful, amazing, like, actress and her life in Hollywood and all the people she met along the way. But it just so happens that the characters are, like, well-rounded, real, like, realistic people. And so I found that so refreshing that Tilly Jenkins Reid was just like, I'm just going to make these characters, like, real people. And they don't have to be white and they don't have to be, like, cisgender and they don't have to be... straight, etc., you know, like, they're just gonna be real, and I found that
and those things that make them different are not, like, the whole story, it's just, like,
yeah,
a thing about it.
Exactly, yeah, exactly, that's just a small character trait of the characters, etc., mm-hmm. like, that doesn't define the novel, and it doesn't define the people within the novel, so
Evelyn's bisexuality was, like, an important aspect of the novel, but it wasn't,
yeah.
like...
For yeah. sure. But it's not like, I'm sure this book is pitched for the fact that it has, like, LGBTQ aspects to it, because that's a great aspect of it, but it's not, I'm sure that's not the major pitching point.
No.
Like, the major pitch would be that it's this amazing, like, women's fiction story about a Hollywood actress and, like, all of the husbands, you know, like, that's what it's about on the surface.
Yeah, and because Siobhan sent this book to me, and I didn't know really, I hadn't really read anything. I just kind of picked it off of my shelf and brought it with me just because Beau Chavon and Hunter just raved about it. Uh-huh. So I had no idea that there was, like, such, like, good queer representation in the novel. So that, for me, like, was, a very, like, unexpected but very, like, good surprise.
So refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Hunter?
Yeah. I think that my favorite part of the book is just when you sit down and think about it. Like, the book is about partnerships in every way. Mm-hmm. It's about the business partnership and the romantic partnership and the friendships and, like, love. And every husband that she has, she's with for a different reason, and she uses them if she can, and she does. She's kind of a terrible person, but in the most, like, powerful and productive way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time, she has those qualities that completely redeem her. So I think I just loved that. Well, I read it, like, over a month ago now, I think. And so I sat back down to prep for the podcast. So I went through and I skimmed and I looked at all the husbands that she had, and I thought about the kind of relationships that she had with them, and they were all different in what she got out of them and what they got out of it too. So it's really about partnerships, and I think that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You said something there reminded me of something, and now I've lost it again. So, whoops. I knew what I was going to say. That you talked about how she's kind of like a terrible person, but kind of not, right? And she, like, uses the men for all different things. But, like, that I also found that so refreshing that she... It's about, like, this, like, female empowerment of just, like, doing whatever it takes to, like, what you want.
And she's unapologetic.
Yeah. Yeah. She's not timid. She's not, like, she's not apologetic. She's just, exactly, she's just ambitious.
And she's using her sexuality, I think, in a lot of the situations to get what she wants, but it's different from having somebody tell you that, or, like, basically forcing you to, like, objectifying you, like, it's, like, subverting the male gaze, right? Like, you're not acting in a way that, like, that you know that men are looking at you. Like, you are feeling, like, sexy and using your body because, like, that's how you know you're gonna get what you want out of the situation. Which, like, reality for, like, the time and, like, even times that we live in now, like, that kind of, like, awareness is still, like, a powerful act in and of itself because you're, like, representing for yourself and not for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she always makes the choices herself to be in the relationship she's in. Even, I feel like and I read it, like, a long time ago now. But the whole thing about the photograph of her in the water, that is, like, she fully claims the agency over that whole thing, doesn't she? Like, it's risque, but she chooses to be as risque as she wants to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I remembering correctly?
Yeah. And also the movie that was, like, the first... or one of the demises of her relationships with Cecilia. It was all about, like, the female orgasm and women having sex.
Right.
Because they enjoy it and not because they're objects for male pleasure.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty dope.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And what did you people think about... So, Hunter, you talked about, like, partnerships and how this book is totally, like, about partnerships. And the one thing that reminded me of that, another one of my big takeaways is that, like, the one true, like, love partnership in this, like, book was, like, Evelyn's relationship with Cecilia. But it wasn't a traditional marriage in the sense of, like, having a wedding and then, like, telling everyone that this is your... your life partner, like, that kind of, like, relationship that they just had, like, with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was very interesting.
Well, the few times that you could say the love connection was there in a marriage, it was always, like, only one of them was feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
So her first husband was in love with her, but she saw him as a way to get out of her dad's house. And then Don Adler, it was a career connection, it was lust, and then it was, there wasn't really more than that. It was very physical, and then she thought that she might have fallen in love with Max Gerard, but he did not love her.
He loved the idea of Evelyn Hugo and not Evelyn Hugo.
And then the love that she felt for Harry Cameron was very much love, but it was not the romance kind. So, I just love every single, like, relationship that she had for some reason, even the bad ones.
And didn't you also just, like, love the idea when she was married to Harry and Cecilia was married to, what was his name? When they had, like, their little, like, foursome where, like, Harry and her husband
the two of them were, living, like, next to each other?
Was it John?
Oh, yeah, I think so it was. Happy.
Hold on, I'm just looking it up. But I just had so many, like, happy feel of thinking about them, like, doing, going on all these, like, double dates, but really, like, everyone thinks that it's just, like, two married couples, but,
and
like,
isn't
jokes
that the
on
dream?
You.
Just to be, like, that in love and, like, content with your lives and, like, I don't know. I love that.
Yeah.
So sweet. So sweet. What did we think of Monique? No thoughts.
Well, it's funny because, like, she is the narrator.
I know, but no one remembers her.
But she's very, very much a secondary character.
Yeah.
I thought that, like, right away you could tell that something was not right.
Yeah, that there was another, there was a reason and... that she was.
See, and I didn't get that.
What?
I know.
Well, that's so exciting for you.
Yeah, no, it was so, I was shooketh. I was shocked.
We can't go any farther with this conversation.
I know. But I
just thought, like, from the very start, you could tell that she was a very, maybe unhappy's not the right word, but.
Not content.
She was a very discontent person, and it seemed to be stemming from a lot of different areas in her life, like her career, her failed marriage, and then something about her parents you could tell was kind of haunting her. So it was nice to see her story, or nice to see a resolution for her story as well, even though she did turn into such a secondary character compared to Evelyn Hugo.
Yeah.
Say, isn't everyone a secondary character compared to Evelyn Hugo?
Right, like, exactly. And I was going to say, it's such a nice...
incandescent character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was such a nice, like, medium through which to tell Evelyn's story.
Yeah.
Like, I think it added to that feeling of... that sense that you really were reading, like, a memoir or, like, the diaries of this famous woman.
Yeah.
By reading it through a lens of a reporter.
It didn't feel like fiction.
No, it didn't. It just reads so quickly.
Effortlessly.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
So good. And it's a fat book, but I read that pretty quickly.
Yeah, I did too.
Like a one sitting kind of thing.
Yeah.
A long sitting.
We all know that I read it quickly. I think I was texting Siobhan updates like, oh my god, this just happened.
Yeah. It's so good. Yeah, and then I also liked, like, I like thrillers and like Griplet. So there is an aspect to this that there's like some mystery, and it's kind of hinted to at the beginning, or at least Hunter and I thought, you know, read that into
There's
it.
Something behind
you the picked up on that.
And so, like, that's another satisfying aspect. Like, not only is it a women's commercial fiction, but it's also got this, like, mystery element, like a small mystery element that you're also just trying to unravel Evelyn's story this whole time. So there's something really pulling There's multiple levels pulling you through the story, which mm-hmm. makes it so satisfying. But it's also just, like, an amazing book. And it's really, and it's also about, like friendship. And like, what are you willing to sacrifice in terms of career, but also in terms of like, romantic relationships and relationships in general. I think it's really, yeah, it's just, like, a smart look at sacrifices we make for ourselves, but also for the people in our lives. At least,
yeah,
the way that, yeah, Evelyn has, and it, like, really internalizes Evelyn's, or gives you a look into the Evelyn's, like, thoughts and the things that she had to go through mm-hmm. To make those hard decisions, which ultimately maybe paid off, if, depending on, like, what you read as being most important in her life, whether it's her career or her relationships.
I feel like in the end, like, it does, I mean, she goes through her, like, rough patches, and it's not always, like, sunny all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, she definitely does some bad things. And
yeah, she's not perfect.
She makes some bad decisions throughout, but each time she kind of works through it, so.
Mm-hmm. It made me really wonder if Hollywood is still like this. Oh, 100%. Did it make you curious in Hollywood? Yeah. I was like,
oh, yeah. Totally. I have so many theories. And, like, so many, like, yeah, no, I think maybe now it's a little different, just, I think, with, like, the age of social media, how much you can share, but also, like, how easy it is to craft certain things. Like, I'm still a hardcore, maybe this is, like, really showing my cards, that all the shit that went down with Taylor Swift last year and, like, Calvin Harris and all that stuff. A part of me still thinks that there was, like, some publicity aspects added to that. A little part of me wants it to be a Taylor Swift music video talking about how people are obsessed with her, but I realize that that's, like, not realistic, but I don't know. I think, like, a lot of the things that, like, we see and things that are, like, told to us are in, like, the general public is very curated. And very, like,
yeah,
strategically said. And there's probably all this, like, other weird shit going on with, like, so many beards. I would hope, like, not so anymore, but right. Probably. And other things that we just don't know. And also necessarily don't need to know. Because these people are still humans. And they still, like, have a right to privacy.
Yeah, definitely. It is kind of sad.
Yeah.
And it's sad that we read this and we're like, oh, I want this person to be real because I want to know all about their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just an honest portrayal. And yeah. I'm pretty sure Taylor Jenkins Reid lives in L.A., if I'm not mistaken. So it's like a world that she's at least surrounded by.
Yeah, she lives in Los Angeles.
Yeah. So, I mean, that just, like, comes across so clearly in the book. That this mm-hmm. a lot of this is based probably in reality. I just wonder, like, how much of this is old school Hollywood and how much of it still works. But also, it, like, made me wish old school Hollywood was, like, still a thing. You know?
Yeah.
To, like, have experienced that.
Yeah, the glamour of it. But then...
Yeah. Well, I know there's lots of bad things too.
Yeah.
It's funny how much it has changed. Just because the Hollywood that's in this book is the, like, shiny dresses and big jewels mm-hmm. and, like, spotting celebrities when they're in their cars or stopping for ice cream. And now it's, like, who can wear the coolest tracksuits?
Mm-hmm. Gross.
And watch me show my lipstick colors, like.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, there was still this, like, disconnection, right? Like, you weren't, like, your degrees of separation from a celebrity. Because, you know, we got, like, the press releases and the, like, magazine articles that people would have been reading about their favorite, like, mm-hmm. celebrities, right?
Yeah.
So it's just a different, and now within the world of, like, SpawnCon and all that good stuff that I love to laugh at.
So fun. Well, cool. I feel like, I don't know how much more we can say without,
like, yeah, I don't want to give truth. Things away.
But I do think everyone should read this book, so read the book.
Yeah.
And then come back.
Just read the book.
Pretend you're having a conversation with us about it. It's like our book club. I know, I guess this is the first time we've kind of done this without talking about a book in comparison to an adaptation. But I think we all just felt like we could not talk about how much we love this book. But there's some book news we can hash out.
There's so much book news we can hash out.
Yeah, man. Lots of Canadian stuff, too.
Yeah, which is so exciting.
In Canada. Yeah.
We can get all the Harry Potter stuff. We can we can start
it. Because we can't go a week without Harry Potter.
No. But I would also like to think that we're, it's a different sort of, like, Harry Potter news every single week. It's not always the same thing.
It's always very different.
So, like, now, the Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone is going to have a Scots translation, which is pretty cool. Scots. Like, so, like, the language of Scotland.
What?
Gaelic?
Don't they speak English?
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a fun fact.
Yeah. Which is, I think it's, like, interesting also. And, Siobhan, like, you've been to Ireland, so you know in Ireland they're...
I know, all of Ireland.
Well, like, you know the country, you're familiar. But, like, you know how they have, like, the Irish translations and the Irish language is, like, dying, but it's, like, they're trying to, like, not let it die. Yeah, it's still mandatory in schools. Yeah. But I think it's, like, interesting, too, that they're trying to, like, still maintain and have... in these, like, other languages that aren't really spoken anymore, but still having, like, still acknowledging that, like, they want to keep them somewhat alive.
Yeah. Power to them. Let's read Harry Potter in Scots. Except I think those languages are very complicated. I mean, that's how you get the spelling of my name, so. That's confusing. But cool. Good job, Scots. There's more Harry Potter news.
Of course there is. I just announced recently there will be two more Harry Potter books published in October. This is with, or in partnership with the British Library, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And
for an exhibit.
For an exhibit. So it's going to be a history of magic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're both going to be, like, history. So some are going to be about, like, the history of spells, and then others are going to be about the history of, like, the magical world in the UK.
Yeah, so it's Harry Potter, a history of magic, and... Yeah. Oh, ah! My computer just made some noise.
Did you open up an EW link?
Yeah. I did!
I start playing.
You have to be careful with those. They always play music.
Rude. The book... Wait. Oh, there's one called The Book of the Exhibition, and the other one's called A Journey Through a History of Magic.
Mm-hmm. So, I think they're kind of going to be like the Pottermore Presents series that came out.
Yeah.
Just kind of going through some of the little made-up things that complete the whole Harry Potter world for JK. So, I'm looking forward to them. Hopefully,
yeah, you think you'll
they're
read
widely
them?
Available.
Oh, I will 100% read them.
Yeah.
Really? The Pottermore Presents you guys read?
So cute.
Did you read,
yeah, we, like, loved Pottermore Presents.
I know you read the Pottermore Presents. But did you read, like, the other Harry,
like, the
Potter
Tales
adjacent
of
books?
And the Bard?
Yeah, like those?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. And I also do read Pottermore.
I know.
The only one of those things that I haven't read is the Fantastic Beasts screenplay.
Right. Interesting.
But I might pick it up and read it one day. I'm sure.
I'm sure you
will. It's not a high priority, but it's, like,
I mean, it's the last in the collection of what you need to read.
That's true.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't know. I think I picture them more along the lines of being, like, Beedle and the Bard or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. I know I'm butchering that name. Than being the Pottermore Presents stuff. Because those are more like stories, right?
So they have Quidditch of the Ages, and they have Fantastic Beasts, like the actual textbook, and then they have the Tales of Beedle the Bard. And those are like fictional. The two are like the textbooks. And then the fairy tales.
Right.
So.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Okay. Well, report back once you've read them.
Will do.
Some exciting Canadian news. Ruby Kaur has announced that she's publishing her second book of poetry. So that'll come out this fall. She, like, painted her book cover on her body. So she embodied her words, if you will.
Ah.
Yeah, so check out her Instagram. It's all over there. That'll be exciting. People are freaking out.
In other Canadian news, Lucy Maud Montgomery's journals are going to be republished this coming, I think it's in the fall. I'm just going to open the link up to make sure. So these journals were published over about 20 years span from 1985 to 2004.
So her journals, all of her things were given to the University of Guelph. They actually have an archive of all of her journals, a lot of her little figurines and photographs because she was really into photography. So a lot of her journals has been originally published, but they cut out a lot and they censored a lot because some of it was quite dark. Her husband had some kind of mental illness that they...
I think he had depression.
Yeah, so he was kind of unstable. She was quite the woman, had a lot of opinions, and some of them weren't positive towards members of the community. So they ended up cutting out a lot just for her legacy. They didn't want people to change their thoughts of her. So now they've announced that they're deciding they're just going to go for it. They're going to publish everything. We discussed this in a class that I took at Trent, and my prof said that her son was very much like, don't publish that until this person dies. So
Whoa. Now
it'll be interesting to see what happens now.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. I'm excited.
Two things are happening in Montreal that are bookish right now, or one just happened. But in June... libraries across Montreal abolished late fees at libraries, and over 4,000 documents were returned during the like amnesty of no late fees.
Oh my god!
Which is so amazing, and they did it because it's Montreal's 375th anniversary, which also lol makes Canada sound so young, but. In comparison to Montreal, is what I mean, because we just celebrated 150 and they celebrated 375. Anywho, yeah, they abolished late fees for like half a month, and the over 4,000 documents were returned. And I'm so jealous because I currently have a book that I've had out since February, and owe a lot of money. And it's just laziness. There's literally a library like two blocks outside my door.
Oh but my goodness.
I'm afraid to bring it back because that'll make me pay. Yeah, so that's fun. And then the other Montreal story is a YouTuber who I'm not familiar with, but maybe that's ignorance. Audrey Archambault, and that is not the French way to say her name, but I'm not going to try. She's like pulling at Emma Watson and leaving books in the Montreal subway system. It's kind of like take a penny, leave a penny in that. You're supposed to return the book when you're done with them. But it's fun, and she's spreading book love, which is nice to see. I wonder how long it will last. But yeah, she's leaving books around a la Emma Watson and spreading bookish love.
Well, on the Emma Watson topic, and for more Margaret Atwood love, Emma Watson interviewed Margaret Atwood recently for EW. And so they discussed The Handmaid's Tale and what inspired Margaret to write it, and then how she feels in the new Trump government system, where a lot of the things that she wrote in the book kind of seem like they could potentially come to pass. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. Emma said, "Does this scare you?" And Margaret said, "I'm not easily scared."
Oh my god!
Of course not.
She's so badass. Amazing. So they get into women's rights and feminism, and Margaret Atwood is just, she's so strong. It's amazing, and I enjoyed it. I read it and
cool.
I enjoyed it.
We'll share that cool. in the show notes. That's cool.
Two of my fave people.
Yeah, two badass women. We're all about badass That's women. Awesome. I mean, this episode Love and it. In general. Cool.
Yeah. And our last piece of book news. Yeah. So CBC Books is starting to compile a list of the Great Canadian Reading List.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. So basically the idea is if you think like a book belongs on the Great Canadian Reading List, just tweet at them to let them know. And they're going to compile and then put the top 150 books onto this list.
That's fun. So,
yeah. Do you guys, I mean, we obviously know the number two books that I would put on the Great Canadian.
I wonder, Station 11 would definitely be up there.
Mm-hmm.
What else do I love?
This is Editing Elizabeth. I just wanted to let everyone know that the day after we recorded this episode, the list was released, so you can check it out at CBC Books. And yes, Lullabies for Little Criminals, Station 11, and Anne of Green Gables all made it onto the list.
Well, we'll just have to start tweeting at them from our Twitter account, and we can madly put in a bunch.
Speaking of our Twitter account, we've also started an Instagram.
We have! You guys can follow us.
Yes, yeah, so follow us at She Reads Podcast, and it's all things Bookstagram, and so I'll be posting some stuff about each episode, what we talk about, and then just casually tag us in your Bookstagrams, and I'll repost if you have a good pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Books are so pretty, it's hard to resist.
Unless you're reading on a reading device, and then you have to really style the photo.
Yeah. It's really hard to make a Kobo look cute.
It is. Cool. I think that's it.
Cool.
Is that it for us?
Yeah, I think that's it for us.
Okay. And happy summer, everybody.
Yeah, and happy reading. Thanks happy for listening.
Reading. Thanks.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to She Reads. If you haven't already, don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, and if you like, you can rate us and leave a comment. You can also check out all the books we've talked about today through the show notes on our website, shereadspodcast.wordpress.com. And you can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram, both at She Reads Podcast. Special thanks to our fairy god musician, Gavin Sutton. Again, thank you for listening and happy reading.